Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking about in this program about this new bill that was being introduced. But before we do that, it recently was just reported. We've been talking about on this program for some time now about the wave of immigrants that have been entering into Europe. I mean, by the tens of thousands. Some reports are that right now, the United Nations has about 20,000 of these refugees that are leaving Middle East, Syria, for sure, for safety, and that they have about 20,000 of them already in the pipeline to be entering reportedly 180 cities in the United States, Steve, 180 cities. But we've been speculating, and many people have, that in these droves, these massive amounts of people that are flooding Europe right now, that are overtaking Germany, that there potentially could be some terrorists in that group, members of ISIS. And many videos and pictures just show large numbers of men. You don't see any children. It's like, okay, they've got iPods in their hands, phones. Like, where are you guys fleeing from? And it was just reported that we have an image for you of this man, but a terror, Al-Qaeda terror boss was just nabbed in Italy, Steve. Apparently, he was responsible for different attacks. He was arrested once before. He was arrested and convicted in Italy, and he has an explosive background with explosives and detonation and things of that nature, and he was apprehended. But that was one. That was one. The question is, how many are flooding these borders with evil intent to do harm, to do jihad, to do terrorism acts? This is in Europe, and it's slated now. They're making plans for in the new coming year to be able to absorb them in the United States. And so this is a big deal because, you know, it used to be that you could take down a nation. I mean, you look at what happened with Pearl Harbor when Japan just, you know, took great air power, took strategy, took a whole military to attack us. And that happened, you know, on the attack of Pearl Harbor. And then you go some years later and it just took a couple of planes, you know, before. And then on 9/11, two planes hit the World Trade Center. And that was a major attack. We lost 3,000 Americans during that period of time, during that attack. And now today, I mean, you can have one person. I remember during Patriots Day, the big run that they had in Boston, where they had these two jihadists, these terrorists, these brothers, that had a bomb that went off during the run. And I can remember watching on my television screen how just because of two men, Steve, one of which let a bomb go off right there in the middle of this running, this marathon, they shut the entire city of Boston down. I mean, they couldn't go anywhere. There were no cars on the road. And they began doing a search house by house. It took hours to apprehend this individual. One wound up being shot and killed, and the other one was being apprehended as he was hiding in a boat. But here's the deal. I mean, you're noticing that it doesn't take any more what it used to take. It could now be a lone wolf, as they say, a one person. And we have to really be vigilant and be alert and understand that there are people that really want to do us harm. The question is, Steve, there's so many people today are asleep. They don't even have a consciousness of what's even happening in our own country.
Yeah, it causes me to even consider, you know, when you're talking about Israel a moment ago, it's just like you think about the resiliency that the Israeli people are. It's like they have been under that constant, whether it's rockets, whether it's suicide bombers, whether it's somebody coming at you with a 12-inch knife. These are people that are constantly aware of their surroundings, and they're a resilient people. And it's just like, if we don't pay attention to what is happening, we're seeing it increasing in the West. We're seeing it increasing in our own nation. It's like, you know, you're exactly right. We can't continue this mindset of, you know, that'll never happen. That'll never happen, because now it's happening.
It's happening. This is a new normal, America, sad to say. And it's going to take all of us to be alert, all of us to be aware. And it's going to help. It's going to take our elected representatives to understand what jihad is, understand what, you know, that there are 1.2, yes, Muslims, not all Muslims are radical. Not all Muslims want to do jihad. But according to Bridget Gabrielle and some estimations, that 15% of all Muslims, which is approximately 310, 320 million people, are jihadists, are radical. Mm-hmm. Well, that's still a lot of people. And we want to, you know, not have this type of terror in the United States or really anywhere in the world. And I think about what is happening right now. Right now, Congress has an opportunity. The Senate, there's a bill that was just being introduced by Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, and it's called the Muslim Brotherhood Bill Act of 2015. It's called the Muslim Brotherhood Terrorist Designation Act of 2015, and it basically, the aim of this bill is to do just that, designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a foreign terrorist organization. And why is that important? Why is it important we do that? Because we have spoken extensively on this program in regards to the Muslim Brotherhood and their history and what they've been able to do throughout the world. In fact, eight other countries, Steve, have already banned the Muslim Brotherhood from their country. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Syria, the United Emirates, Bahrain, and Russia have all banned them from their own country, yet the United States has not. In fact, some reports are that they've been invited to the White House, and they're very, very influential in this country. But if you remember that our president's very first international speech was at Cairo University when Hosni Mubarak, who was the president of Egypt at the time, was not even invited to this speech. In fact, he didn't show up because the president had invited the Muslim Brotherhood to this speech. And in this speech, he really shares some very interesting things. In fact, I want you to listen about what he felt from this very first speech, what he feels is his responsibility. Watch this.
So I have known Islam on three continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. That experience guides my conviction that partnership between America and Islam must be based on what Islam is, not what it isn't. And I consider it part of my responsibility as President of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
Understanding what he said, he said that he feels that it's his responsibility to defend negative stereotypes wherever they may exist. And understand that as an individual, as a citizen, you're free to have whatever opinions, I mean, freedom of speech. However, as a president, that's not your responsibility. As a president, your responsibility is to defend our borders, but definitely not
defend
to
the Constitution.
Yeah, defend the Constitution, but not to defend negative stereotypes for anybody, not just Muslims, for anybody, because it's not your responsibility in the capacity and the title and the position that you hold. But it was interesting that shortly after that speech, and that the president, who had been there for years, Hosni Mubarak, was overthrown, and then they had a new election, and the Muslim Brotherhood ran their candidate. If you remember, Morsi won the election to be the president of Egypt. He was a Muslim Brotherhood candidate. What resulted? What were the things that took place as a result of the Muslim Brotherhood being in charge of Egypt? Well, we start to see that Christians began to be persecuted, very large numbers of them, that over 70 church buildings were torched and lit, burned to the ground, Steve. And it was almost a year to the day that Morsi took office that Egypt saw large, huge gatherings of protesters, of citizens that were saying, no, we can't have this. In fact, they even went as far as suspending their constitution with an aim and a goal, some reports are, to actually institute Sharia law in Egypt. And so the Egyptian citizens rose up and said, out of here. They overthrew him. And they wind up electing the general at that time, al-Sisi, who is currently the president of Egypt. So you see this, you can understand why they've been outlawed, why they've been outlawed in Egypt.
Eight countries have outlawed them.
And seven other countries now besides Egypt, right? Because they have a history of doing things. Now, when we get back from this break, we're actually going to discuss and show you an amazing video that talks about Muslim Brotherhood 101. We want you to have all the facts. We want you to gather all the information for yourself. In fact, we are going to relate everything for you on the torch so that you can make your own investigation. Mm-hmm. You can actually, you know, sift through the paperwork, if you will, and come to your own conclusions. But we got to understand, why is it that a bill is being introduced right now by Senator Cruz to designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a foreign terrorist organization? I'm going to take you straight to Muslim Brotherhood 101 so you can get a history of this organization, what they were founded on, what's their motto, and what is their end game goal. Watch this.
Today, the Middle East stands on the brink of full-scale conversion to Muslim Brotherhood fanaticism, yet President Obama does not seem to see the problem. President Obama's hand-picked director of national intelligence, James Clapper, said that the Brotherhood is, quote, largely secular, unquote. President Obama seemed unconcerned about the rise of the Brotherhood in Egypt. In fact, he invited Ikhwan members to his Cairo speech in 2009, tailored the speech to meet the Brotherhood's grievances and indulge his narratives, and cozied up to Muslim Brotherhood American satellites despite their involvement with terror groups all across the world. The Obama policy of courting the Muslim Brotherhood has not changed the brothers. It has empowered them to advance their anti-American program. They are now on the verge of control in Egypt and Libya, and their ideology dominates the Muslim world. But what is the Muslim Brotherhood? Well, in 1928, a young Egyptian educator known as the Guide to his followers and Hassan al-Banna to the rest of the world founded a group called the Muslim Brotherhood. The movement was virulently anti-colonial, but not because Banna was a nationalist or an Egyptian patriot. He was neither. Banna's loyalty was to the Muslim Ummah and the ideal that Islam must dominate across national lines. He was anti-colonial because he abhorred the West. The Brotherhood's development was spurred by Turkey's rigorous campaign of secularization. Following the final defeat of the Ottoman Empire in World War I, Kemal Atatürk had spearheaded a successful independence movement, expelling occupiers and establishing an independent state. Determined to turn westward, Atatürk drove Islam out of the public square and marginalized it in the classroom. In 1924, he abolished the caliphate, a symbolically shattering event for Muslims. Banna had drawn precisely the opposite conclusion about the sorry state of the Muslim world. For him, Islam was the solution. The problem had been too little of it, not too much, and not just any Islam. Banna had in mind a very particular brand. Salafism. The term Salafia comes from a phrase meaning righteous ancestors, referring to Muhammad and his companions. Banna believed that by mixing Islam with modernism, Muslims had strayed from the path. And the only way to restore the Islam of the founders was to faithfully implement divine law called Sharia. With Sharia's injunctions firmly in place, the Muslim nation would inevitably rise to the hegemony that was Allah's due. The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective. It's widely perceived to be representative of true Islam. In the late spring of 2011, the Mapping Sharia Project published conclusions from an important study. After surveying 100 randomly selected mosques across the United States, the authors found that 81% of them disseminated Islamic texts that advocate violence. In nearly 85% of the mosques, the imam favorably recommended this literature for study by congregants. Moreover, 58% of the mosques invited guest lecturers known for promoting violent
Think about this. This is who the Muslim Brotherhood is, and this is their own motto. This is their mission statement, if you will. Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. Dying in the way of Allah is our highest hope. I'm going to read that to you again. This is the Muslim Brotherhood's motto. This is what they believe. This is their vision statement, if you will. Here it is. Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. Dying in the name of Allah is our highest hope. Mm-hmm. Understand that this is their ideology. This is what they are trying to do. And reports are is that they've infiltrated the United States. They've infiltrated our government. And they want to do all sorts of type of jihad here in the United States. Some of it is through physical force. Some of it is through co-opting messages and infiltrating the university systems, even textbooks. I mean, listen, there's a long, long strategy engaged here. And if we fall asleep on our watch, before you know it, we don't need a Trojan horse. You know, Trojan horse was... You know, the enemy snuck in with a gift with a whole bunch of soldiers in there. And then when they fell asleep, all these soldiers popped out. This is a, you know, very general history. But the idea is that it was they snuck in. Well, there is no sneaking in now. I mean, it's almost like we're imploding from the inside out, and not because of anything but of ignorance, closing our eyes. And, you know, let's not forget maybe the judgment of God. I mean, when we turn our backs on God, when we've abort and murder over 50 plus million babies since 1973, when, you know, Roe versus Wade made abortion legal in our country, to think that up until that point, it was actually considered murder to end the life of a baby, of a child, that actually legalized murder. And to think that just for that alone, but think of all the ways that we've turned back from God and away from God, and could we possibly be looking at judgment? Listen, it never goes well for a nation, for a people, for a person who turns their back on God. I'll never forget what Leonard Ravenhill was quoted as saying. He said, the greatest sin in the world, the greatest sin that one can commit, is not adultery. He said the greatest sin that someone could commit is attempting to live a life independent of God. And many, many people are on that road today. They're on that slippery slope of saying, I don't need God. We don't need God in our homes. We don't need God in our families. We don't need God in our communities. We don't need God in our nation. In fact, there's a state in Oklahoma, they put a monument to Satan in their city. How can you expect the blessing of God upon your city when you put a monument to Satan in your city? You are provoking God. And now we're looking at situation where people want to do the United States harms and those who live in the country. I want you to watch Bridget Gabrielle. She was invited by the Family Research Council, and she details a plan that was discovered in regards to Muslim Brotherhood and their plan to destroy America. Watch this.
I am holding in my hand the Muslim Brotherhood plan for the destruction of the United States, written 5/22/1991. The title of the plan is Mudhakkara Tafsiriya Lilhadaf Al-Istrateji Al-Aam Lil-Jama'a Fi America Al-Shamaliya. You all got that? There will be a quiz. It is titled the Muslim Brotherhood, an explanatory memorandum for the general strategic goal for the group, the Muslim Brotherhood in North America, written 5/22/1991. This plan was presented as evidence in the Holy Land Foundation trial, the largest terrorism trial ever in the history of the United States, where our government handed down, hello, my best friend, where our government handed down 108 guilty verdicts for Muslim Americans and Muslim American organizations raising money to support terrorist organizations in the Middle East to the tune of millions. And I'm just going to read you a paragraph of this plan so it'll give you an idea of what I'm talking about. They talk about the settlement in the United States. And I have to put my glasses on because God in his wisdom decided I turned 49 and I needed reading glasses. Wait until I get to heaven. I'm convinced he's a man. If he was a woman, he would know I would look better without glasses. Understanding the role of the Muslim brother in North America. The process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process with all the word means. The Ikhwan, which is the Arabic word for brothers, must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and Allah's religion is made victorious over all other religions. Is this clear? They don't mince words, do they? But the most important page of this document is the last page. Because in the last page, they list 29 front Islamic organizations set up in the United States with the specific goal of sabotaging America from within and destroying America by our own hands. And I'm just gonna name a few. Number one on the list is ISNA, Islamic Society of North America. And if you're familiar with ISNA, it's because they are now advisors to President Obama about Middle East policy. So we not only have the Fox watching the hen house, we have the Fox inside the White House dictating policy in the ear of the president. Number two on the list is the MSA, the Muslim Student Association. The Muslim Student Association has more chapters on American college campuses than the Democrats and the Republicans combined. Number eight on the list is NAIT, the North American Islamic Trust. The North American Islamic Trust owns the deed to over 90% of American mosques in the United States. That is a problem. Now, what makes this very important, and I'm going to focus in the last 3 minutes, 5 minutes on education, is to show you how they set up every organizations in this plan to destroy America, focusing on every sector of our society. Organizations focused on publishing, organization focused on media, organization focused on education, with the strict purpose of doing sabotage to America from within. And I'm not talking military. We know that ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all the others want to attack the United States and do damage to the United States. As a matter of fact, we in the United States have 150 terrorist organizations right now operating in America. Five of them are operating right here in the District of Columbia. And our government, and these are the ones we know about.
Think about that. These are the ones that we know about.
Right.
You know, you think she's shy?
No.
No, I don't think she's shy.
It's good.
Think about this. She said that MSAs, which are Muslim Student Associations, they have more chapters on college campuses than Democrats and Republicans combined. This is a wave of infiltration. Mm-hmm. You know, Breitbart News reports in 2004, listen to this, a driver and his passenger piqued the interest of police as they were transiting the Maryland Chesapeake Bay Bridge in an unmarked car directly behind them. Suspicious arose as the passenger filmed the bridge's strength members above rather than the scenery below. Think about this. Stopping the vehicle, the officers found the driver had an outstanding warrant related to the Holy Foundation case. This led to a warrant to search his home. This is what they found. During that search, police discovered a secret hub basement in the house containing numerous documents in Arabic. One was a covert war plan designed to undermine the U.S. Constitution and laws by gradually introducing Sharia. Listen, Sharia law was being introduced in Irvine, Texas, not too long ago. We showed it to you. We showed you where the I believe it was the imam who was saying, yes, it's good to cut the hand. It's good to cut the hand. This is why this bill is so important. I want you to make sure you get in contact with your senator and your representative so you can support this bill. But, you know, it's not just the Muslim Brotherhood. There is a caliphate. The Islamic jihadists want to do a caliphate, which is basically world domination. And Steve, I know you have an article that outlines seven steps. We're going to try to include as much as possible before this program. But if we miss any, you will make sure it's related for you on the torch. Get and share with us those steps.
Yeah, there's a Jordanian journalist, and he had befriended what turned out to be many terrorists within the Al-Qaeda community. And from the information they had reportedly told this journalist, there was basically a seven-phase plan that basically the community of Islam has to attacking the West. And it starts with 2000. Basically,
it's radical Islam.
This is basically radical Islam. And the first phase was basically provoking America to war. What did they use? What happened in 2001, which was 9/11. And that phase was basically set to go from 2000 to 2003, and they consider that very successful. I mean, look what happened in 2001 and then what transpired to send American troops both to Iraq and then eventually to Afghanistan.
Which was the 9/11 attack.
Which was 9/11 attack of the Twin Towers. And it continues in the second phase of and it goes to basically 2006. And I'm just briefly just overviewing this. Like I said, we're going to relate this to you. It says Iraq should become the center for all global operations where an army will be set up there. And you see how much of basically the pivotal focus of the Middle East was Iraq. I mean, we had operations. I've been to Fallujah. I've been in the vicinity of basically all the way to Baghdad, which is the capital of Iraq. And this is exactly what's happened.
I'm thinking how long we've been there already and the resources and only to pull out and see ISIS come and take it over. It's a disgrace.
Oh, yeah. And it continues by saying the fact that, you know, you have basically the third phase where you have basically the Islamic community arising and standing up. And that should go from 2000 to 2010. Fourth phase coming up to 2013, which is what we talked about last week in regards to cyber terrorism, saying the fact that attacks are going to be carried out. And it continues. And you can look and just like play by play by play where they are. And it's just like how much are we unaware in the West to see what is being carried out and the strategic plan that they have.
If you missed that program, make sure you watch it because we talk about Ted Koppel's book about Lights Out, how there's only three power grids for the whole country. And basically how easy it would be to attack it. They already have infiltrated it.
Yeah. And it continues on by saying in regards to, you know, you were just saying the caliphate is because we were just watching a previous video. It's just like that Islam is against colonization. We talked about the Sykes-Picot and you're seeing a lot of the borders of the countries now. It was not what it was 500, 1,000 years ago. And basically how it says the fifth phase, this will be the point in which an Islamic state or caliphate can be declared. Between 2013 and 2016, Western influence in the Islamic world will be so reduced and Israel weakened so much that resistance will not be feared.
Well, that's the goal. The goal is to get Israel out, but you have to wonder why they haven't gotten there yet. It's because they have a plan. They're going different places, but it's going to end up in Israel.
Mm-hmm. And continuing on the sixth phase where it says goes up to basically 2016, the Islamic army will instigate the fight between the believers and non-believers. Mm. And it's just that straightforward. This is what it's about. Like they see someone who does not believe in Islam as considered an infidel and non-believer.
Wow. Think about it. This is a plan that's been set in motion. Looks like they've been trying to carry it out successfully. Mm-hmm. And here we are. We stand at this moment in time. And the question is, what are we going to do? You know, we can close our eyes and get lost in the things that we, you know, do as Americans and get, you know, caught up in the next holiday. Or we can actually begin to seek out the Lord for his wisdom, for his direction. We can actually repent and turn our hearts back to God. And we can encourage our elected representatives to take, you know, to introduce these bills that will begin to start making America safe again. You know, if we go the government route without seeking God first, I don't think that's going to work out well for us. I think it all starts out well when we turn our hearts to God and acknowledge him. We want to pray for you right now. Yes. We always ask that if you would, please continue to pray for us. We need your prayers, but let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you, God, that you're exceedingly and wonderfully good. Lord, we thank you that you have an amazing plan for us. Lord, we ask you, God, to forgive our nation. Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for thinking that our plan is better than your plan. Lord, protect our nation. Lord, protect it against those that will want to do us harm, that would try to destroy this country, Lord, that send missionaries all over the world. Lord, we ask you, God, to end abortion and send revival. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFNTV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.